The Holy Spirit today lays not in the fact that it's Pentecost. You know, we don't give the Holy Spirit just one Sunday a year. No. Now, actually, the reason to speak about the Holy Spirit today rests in some conversations I had with two devout Christians. Two devout Christians. They were totally different persons. The one was old. One was young. They didn't really know each other. And they both had this passionate and affectionate love for Jesus. And they had one more thing in common. And that was this intense feeling of guilt. They had developed this thought that they weren't good enough for God. They doubted whether their sins were truly forgiven. And one of them even doubted whether she had truly given her life to Jesus. They both had developed this unhealthy, anxious fear towards God. And in these conversations, they all happened in the same period of time, but in these conversations, you know, I tried to convince them from Scripture that their thoughts were lies, and that they were way too harsh on themselves, that they were wrong about themselves. But it was as if they couldn't accept the gospel of grace, the gospel of forgiveness, the gospel of mercy, the gospel that Jesus Christ came to bring about and to impart in our lives. And these conversations kept spinning in my mind. And on a particular day during our holiday break last week or 2 weeks ago, I woke up with a song in my mind that we've been singing, No Longer Slaves. And I knew what to speak about today. The liberating gospel. That indeed you and I are no longer slaves, but that we've received the spirit of sonship. And I am excited about what God is doing today, because I believe that God is doing a deep work in terms of your identity in Jesus Christ. And from two New Testament passages, I would like to share a few thoughts about this all-changing and powerful truth. You know, praying and hoping. The story of these two persons that I just shared about will not and shall not be your story or my story. So if you have a Bible with you, please open up with me on Romans chapter 8, verse 15 and 17, and then also Galatians chapter 4, and let me just pray before we open the word. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the word of truth. And Lord, it's by your Holy Spirit that his words become spirits of life, a word of life. And I pray, Holy Spirit, to speak life to us this morning as we open the word of God. Will you anoint me? Will you anoint us? In Jesus' name. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 to 17. There Paul says, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." And then Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 to 7. "But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Amen. Indeed. Now, for our ladies, when the gospel speaks about son, you can also read daughter, sons and daughters. Okay? So you're included. Now, the theme that I gave this message, and by the way, I don't have a PowerPoint, so you have to pay a little bit more attention to me, I guess. But the theme that I gave this message is the spirit of sonship from slaves to sons and heirs. And that's exactly the language of Paul in those two passages. And Paul wrote those two epistles, the Romans and the Galatians, to two different audiences. In the epistle to the Roman believers, Paul kind of presents the gospel. Whereas in the Galatians, Paul is calling back the people to the gospel. But the point of these two passages is the same. You know, it's kind of saying, like, God had come into your life, and He brought about a dramatic change. It's the change from a slave to a son and heir. That's the point. And Paul speaks about two different spirits. The spirit of slavery and the spirit of adoption. Now, the spirit of slavery makes you a slave. Well, it's through the spirit of adoption that you know from deep within that you belong to God. You are a child of God. And Paul warns in those two passages to not go back to the life a Christian once had under the spirit of slavery. And the spirit of slavery is the spirit who enslaves you to sin. Like we've been reading in Galatians 4 verse 3, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. We were in slavery under the basic principles of this world. Now, the basic principles of this world are the rules and the laws for life applied in a world that has fallen in darkness, that has fallen in sin, and that is under the leadership of the prince of this world, who is Satan, said Jesus. In other words, the laws of this world are not according to the laws of God for this world. They're the opposite. They don't bring the life, the basic principles of this world, they don't bring the life that God brings when He rules. Now, in both Romans and Galatians, Paul addressed the Jewish and Gentile believers. And earlier on in Romans chapter 3, Paul stated that all have fallen short of the glory of God, both Jew and Gentile. In other words, mankind in its totality stands condemned before God, the righteous judge. There is no excuse, not for the Jew, not for the Gentile, not for you, not for me. There's no excuse. We've all fallen short of the glory of God through our sin. And it begins in Romans 1, saying that mankind in general is given the revelation of God in creation, so that each person can come to know about God's existence. In chapter 2, Paul says that the Jews, in particular, were given the law of Moses, through which they came to know God in a very unique way, in a special way, among the nations. Since the Exodus story, the Old Testament, the Jews, the Israelites, were called in a covenant relationship with God. They were His people. Now, the spirit of slavery enslaves you to sin, and because of that, enslaves you to fear. Because people realize that they are guilty before God. Since they all can know about God's existence. And on top of that, can we switch off the thing? And on top of that, it was through the law of Moses that people become conscious of sin. Let me just have 1 minute break. So the law of Moses told people then and tells us today over and over again, you know, you are a sinner. You have failed God. You deserve punishment. You're not worthy to be his child. You know, it's the curse of the law. And those living under the law, and the Jews in particular, live with that constant anxiety for judgment of God. But an anxiety for God is not just limited to the Jewish believers who were given the law of Moses. No. It's all people. And a sad example is given in those two persons with whom I started with. And I guess, you know, many of us struggle with a certain anxiety towards God. And if we look in general to people, people on this planet try to find an escape or a justification for their sins. It always has been a central part in religion, bringing sacrifices. And I strongly believe that even the greatest atheists try to find a way, an escape for his sins. And why would people do that? Why do they need this escape? Well, isn't it because they know somehow that they are wrong or did wrong? But to who or to what? You know, to God or to a transcendental being, as the religious person would say? Or am I wrong towards myself or mankind, as the atheist would say? People try to find an escape for their sins, for their lives are bound in fear for judgment if their sins aren't forgiven. Now, the fact is, the truth is that without Jesus Christ, each single person finds himself in slavery to fear. Because there is no remedy. There's no remedy through which you can be truly liberated from the dark master controlling your life. Not the law of Moses. Not your own self-made laws. Not any religious ceremony whatsoever. Nothing. You're enslaved to sin, and the only thing that awaits for mankind is the wrath of God, the righteous judge. Now that sounds kind of heavy, isn't it? You know, if the story of God as told in the Bible would have stopped here, you would find yourself in a desperate situation. Life will be completely meaningless because you would only live for destruction. But the story of God doesn't stop here. No. in the midst of darkness, in the midst of sin, in the midst of enslavement and hopelessness, God breaks in with his great and liberating news. To go back to Galatians, when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Hallelujah! That's the good news. That's the gospel. And in the gospel, you know, you see the true face of the God we worship. It is not God's plan, it is not God's will for you or anyone else to live in enslavement, to live in anxiety, or to live in fear, and certainly not in anxiety and fear towards him. And this God comes to us, God comes to you, and he comes to you this morning in his son Jesus Christ to liberate you from the slavery, from the spirit of slavery. And so with the coming of Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, we have entered the time of God's redemption. And the escape from slavery is offered in Jesus Christ. You know, the gift of his son, through which God makes you his son and daughter. You know, what you can't do for yourself, delivering yourself from the spirit of slavery, is what Jesus has done for you. He carried the curse of the law in his death on the cross to set you free from that curse. And the dramatic shift, the change that took place through Jesus in your life, is that Jesus this released you from the spirit of slavery and gave you the spirit of sonship instead. As Paul said in Romans, you now have received the spirit of sonship. You now have received the spirit of sonship. Again, this is very good news. And now we get to speak about the Holy Spirit. For the spirit of sonship that indwells your heart is no one else than the Holy Spirit. And this is the spirit that lives inside of you and lives inside of me. And it's this spirit who leads you through life and not the spirit of slavery. And I would like to say a few words about that adoption to sonship. What does it mean that you are adopted as a child of God, that you are adopted as a son or a daughter of God? In the Old Testament, we find the phrase sons of God that is used for the people of Israel. As I said, they were called to be God's own, to be his people, to be his sons. And this God is seen as Israel's father. God is our heavenly father. Now, in the context of Paul's days, in the Roman context, the adopted person lost all the rights in his old family. Even his debt would be cancelled. And he would gain all the rights and privileges of a legitimate child in the new family. He became even a full heir of the new estate of the father. Now, your adoption to sonship means that you have now received all the privileges and responsibilities of a child of God in his family. And there are at least four different aspects in your life that radically change in this shift. A first aspect is a radical change in your identity. Now, once you were not a people, as the Apostle Peter says, but now you are the people of God. In other words, you are included in the family of God now that you've become a child of God. You're no longer living in isolation. You've become part of one great family, the family of Jesus. And your identity now is defined by you being a child of God, by the spirit of adoption, and not by the spirit of slavery. The second aspect that has changed your life is your status. Once you were a slave. And a slave, you were a slave to the law. You were a slave to sin. Ultimately, you were a slave to Satan, says Paul. You had no rights, no privileges, because a slave would have none of these. He would be completely controlled by his master. But now you are a son of God, and thus you have received all the privileges and responsibilities belonging to the status. Your status has changed. A third aspect is the change in your position to God. As slave, you stood guilty before God. You were an object of his wrath, as Paul says in Ephesians 2. An object of wrath because you were enslaved to sin. But now you stand before God, reconciled, made holy, blameless, without any accusation in Jesus Christ. Once you were dead, now you're alive. And then the fourth aspect that has changed is your relationship with God. Now, as slave to sin, you lived in anxiety and dreadful fear to God. But as child of God, you are drawn in the most, in the closest and most intimate personal relationship possible with God. And so you not only have the status, you not only have the identity, you not only have the position, but you've also received the heart of a son, of a daughter. And one of the ways how this change in relationship is expressed is in your prayer language. You've received a new prayer language. I'm not talking about tongues now. No. Abba, Father. You now cry out, Abba, Father, by the Holy Spirit. Abba, Father. Abba is Aramaic, means Daddy, Father. Now you can get to say Daddy, Daddy to God. It speaks about intimacy. He's your Father. Abba, Father. Now your prayer language, our prayer language, as a son of God, now becomes the same as the one and only Son of God, Jesus Christ. Jesus cried out in the Garden of Gethsemane, Abba, Father. You know, Paul seems to say that God has drawn you in a relationship with God that is like Jesus Christ, although not exactly the same, of course. But isn't that amazing? It's really beautiful. And honestly, I need to give some more time to actually let those words sink into my heart. Crying out, Abba, Father. You know, it's a prayer language that is filled with deep affection. It's a prayer that is deeply felt, intensely experienced. You know, like a child is crying out, Daddy, to his father. And it's interesting, you know, for those among us who tend to have a more irrational relationship to God, I would like to say, you know, try to give room for the deep felt affection, an intense experience of God, your Father. And I know that for some of us, that is really difficult. Because emotions can can be quite scary or so for you. But try to give room for a deep-felt affection and experience of God your Father. It's worth trying. It will make your relationship with God more complete. A change in identity, a change in position, a change in status, a change in your relationship to God. Now, in Galatians chapter 3, Paul says, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." Now, your adoption to sonship is purely an act of grace. But God can only adopt you on the basis of your faith in Jesus. You become a son of God by putting your faith, your trust, your life in the hands of Jesus Christ. And in the adoption, God makes you his child. And he makes you a full heir of his estate. Now there awaits a great and beautiful inheritance for all God's sons and daughters. The best is yet to come. It's the inheritance of God's promise, the kingdom in fullness. You know, this is one of the greatest encouragements that we could give to Andrea. You'll inherit the kingdom. It's the land of the living. This is your future hope. And meanwhile, you know, the Holy Spirit is at work in your heart as a deposit, guaranteeing your inheritance until Jesus comes. The Holy Spirit is at work in your heart, testifying with your spirit that yes, you are a son of God, a daughter of God. It's a deep inner assurance that you belong to him. And by the way, isn't it amazing that just like God sent his son into this world, so did God send his spirit into your heart. Now your heart, which is the center of your being, your heart, regenerated and renewed, has now become the dwelling place of God's Spirit. And this, wherever you are, God is with you and God is within you. Now think about that one. Where you are afraid in a certain situation. Or think about that one when you're having a tough conversation with your boss on your job. The Holy Spirit is with you. Or think about that one if you feel that God leads you to pray for the guy on the street who is sick. Of course you can't heal him. Hey, but God is with you. He's within you. He does the work through you. God is with you. He's within you. Paul's central point, at least in that passage to the Galatians, is that we cannot and should not live with that slavery mindset. Now that you've received the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of sonship. And you know, that's why I felt so sad with those two persons from the beginning. Because their fears, their anxiety for God was totally ungrounded. And their fears, it paralyzed them totally. And you know, and I'm afraid that many Christians hold God at a distance because they don't realize how afraid of him they are. And maybe you hold God at a distance, and you don't even realize how afraid of him you are. And I recognize it even in my own life, that I hold God at a distance because of fear. I can have those thoughts spinning around in my mind as well, that I'm not worthy to live for Jesus, or that I'm not worthy to serve Jesus, because I feel his love. And I believe that many of us have those accusing voices spinning around in your mind. You know, it's the paralyzing voice of Satan. And I'm afraid that many Christians kind of get stuck or remain stuck in a slavery mentality simply because they don't recognize the love and mercy of God. Robbie Dawkins, he's a vineyard pastor somewhere in the States, he wrote a powerful book on this. And he said, you know, people who remain stuck in a slavery mentality because they don't recognize the love and mercy of God. And he says, they become not only the greatest hazard to themselves, but also the greatest obstacle to the good that God intends. For that fear for God paralyzes you. And the call of the Holy Spirit this morning is to step out of the slavery mentality and to fully step in your sonship to the Father. And let me, to close off, point you to the liberating news of the gospel again. Because you have received that spirit of sonship, because you are now his son or his daughter, because of that, says Paul, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life sets you free from the law of sin and death. Now, your life now is imparted with the Holy Spirit. The life of the Holy Spirit. He writes the law of God on your heart. And this, don't build your life upon lies. Don't allow the accusing voice of Satan to define your relationship to God. Because you are now a son of God, a daughter of God. You're given a new identity. You're given a new status, a new position. Yes, you're drawn into a new relationship with the Father. Don't build your life upon lies, but build your life upon the truth of God's word and the law of the Holy Spirit. And do not live one day longer with an anxious fear towards God, but instead, live in the freedom of his grace and in the power of the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Amen. Why don't we